Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. We want to say thanks to everyone who contributed toward the cost of Winter Jam tickets during the free will offering at last Sunday's potluck lunch. A total of $633 was raised for our youth to attend the Winter Jam Christian Music Concert on March 3rd. A reminder, the youth group will meet today from 3 to 5 p.m. There was a text sent out to all youth and their families a few days ago with details of that meeting. And the 2022 giving statements are available on a table back in the foyer. If you would please pick those up, it would save the church the postage costs for them to be mailed out. And please also note the church office will be closed tomorrow, Monday, January 16th, for Martin Luther King Day. We are grateful for the clothing items received thus far on the warmth tree that is set up in the foyer by the elevator. It's an opportunity for us to collect warm clothing items for folks in need through the Clay County Clothes Closet. There's an article in the bulletin announcement page with more information about that very important outreach project. And next Sunday, the January board meeting will occur right after the 11 o'clock worship service in the upper room. And we will need a quorum for that meeting so we can vote on several deacon positions. All right, may we now begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because of what the Lord has done. Rejoice always. We'll now sing all stanzas of hymn number 72, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord. praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son.
We bow for a word of prayer. O Lord, this is indeed the day that you have made, and we are indeed joyful to be here as one body of Christ gathered in your house on this Lord's day. We welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit, who ushers in the presence of our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall.
Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, please be seated. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of page 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Are y'all good? Yeah? Everything's good? Yeah? Okay, good. Well, we kind of just got over all the Christmas stuff and getting all that new stuff. Did you get lots of cool new toys? Yeah? Did you remember to say thank you for the ones that Mom and Dad gave you? Did you remember to tell Mom and Dad thank you? And did you remember to tell Grandpa and Grandma thank you for the ones they gave you? Yeah, yeah. It's really easy for us to be thankful for things like that, isn't it? When we're really happy and we're having a good time and everything's good, it's really easy for us to say thank you. But sometimes it's hard to be grateful. Yeah, like when we're sick. Yeah, it's hard to be grateful when we're sick, isn't it? To say thank you for stuff. Because we don't feel good. Yes. Or when we really, really, really want to go outside and play and it's really, really, really way too cold. Or it's like raining a whole lot. It's hard to be grateful then, isn't it? Yeah, you get grumpy. You're right. It's hard. It's hard to be thankful when we're not happy. So, but maybe we should be thankful to God anyway. So does that mean we should thank God for being sick? No. We don't have to thank God for being sick. But maybe what we should do is thank God that we have people that love us to take care of us when we're sick. Yeah, because God loves us, yes. And he gives us mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas to help take care of us when we're sick. Yeah? So we can still be grateful. We can be grateful that we have somebody that loves us to take care of us. And maybe when it's all like rainy or too cold and we can't go outside and play, maybe what we need to be grateful for is that we have a nice warm house where we can stay warm and dry, where we can drink hot cocoa. The boys got it. Here. You drink that hot cocoa, man. Helps you warm up, doesn't it? So tell me, are you a marshmallow or a whipped cream kind of kid? Just hot cocoa? Okay. So even when things aren't going really good or when we're just, that we don't feel well or there's always something that we can be grateful for. The people that love us, our warm houses, that we have nice warm clothes and that we have hot cocoa for our tummies. Yeah! There we go. So, should we have a little prayer? Yes, to say thank you? All right, let's do that. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for every day, the good days, the bad days, all the days in between. We thank you for all of the things that we have that we take for granted, the people in our lives who love us, our houses where we can stay warm and snug, that we have clothing and food to eat every day. We thank you especially for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world to save us, and it is his name that we pray. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer this new week, Joyce Osborne is asking us to remember her brother-in-law, Matt Morrow. Matt is about 50 years of age and is dealing with a second round of cancer and now undergoing radiation treatments. And Matt has children at home still, so a number of concerns at hand for them. Our sympathy is extended to Joan Hamilton and the family of George Watkins as George passed into the Lord's presence this past week. The service will be at the Whitechapel Funeral Home and Cemetery on the 28th of January. And we'll have the time available as soon as that's figured out with the funeral home. Our sympathy is also extended to Don and Mary Jane Hagen. They are down in the Florida. And we have our folks go either to the Valley or to Florida, one or the other, and I got to get them straight. They're down in Florida. But Don and Mary Jane Hagen's cousin, David Brownfield, who's been on our prayer list for some time, he passed into the Lord's presence Monday of this last week. He leaves behind his wife, Laura, and children, Bennett and Emily. So please keep them in prayer. Susan Hanks remains in our prayers. She went through the surgery on Friday this past week at North Kansas City Hospital to relieve the pressure that she was experiencing on the nerves that was causing so much numbness in her legs and feet. When all that was happening, she was not able to walk. And so now the question will be is, continuing through rehabilitation, what level of skills she'll be able to regain. So please keep Susan and her family in your prayers. Jerry, it's a joy to see you and Betty both here this morning. Praise God. Glad you're here. And again, praise God, Jerry. And Jerry is hopeful that with some insurance issues taken care of and a consultation at KU that he'll be put on that transplant list, right, for the kidney. So that's our prayer. You looking a little closer to that goal. So bless you, Jerry. Also, we lift up Amy Roberts in our prayers. She is now home from having surgery and doing well. We hope all continues well for her. We also lift up Jim Woods and Debbie Buzinski, as both of them are at Ignite. We continue our prayers for Rihanna Ralston, for John Adams, for Larry Pitts and Larry Pettis. We also remember Lana Witten's granddaughter, Samantha Sander. The pressure in her eyes is becoming to be, again, a problem still, being treated for that even as she is beginning a new employment position. So, Lana, we're keeping Samantha in our prayers, as well as your daughter, Amy Sander, as she is dealing with an irregular heart rhythm. So bless you, Lana, you and your family. And in Linda Stevens' family, we lift up her sister. We lift up Olin, the father-in-law of Linda's daughter, Lisa. And in Perla Mora's family, we lift up her sister, Naomi, her daughter, Anna Marie, her niece, Michelle Vales, and a friend of the family, Patty Nelson. And Katie shares with us that Anoki Krager is making steady progress, and that's all good news. A lot of hurdles that he's overcome, more to still work through, but glad to see that he's making progress now well over a year since his accident. So with all these people upon our hearts, may we go to God in prayer this morning. We are privileged once again, O God, to offer praise and celebration to your holy name this Lord's Day morning. Assembled here as brothers and sisters in Christ, we pray that the meditations of our hearts and our words of praise may honor your presence among us. As Philippians 4, verse 6 tells us, we are to let our petitions be known to you. And so we are mindful of millions the world over in need of your great comfort and hope. We lift up to you the countless numbers of Ukrainians who have lost their homes, their livelihoods, and indeed many of their loved ones and friends as Russian missiles continue to rain down on their communities. We pray that your strength and resolve may reside with them, even as they strive to rebuild their lives while also maintaining the sovereign nature of their statehood. We lift up in prayer the thousands across the western coastal and inland areas of Washington, Oregon, and California, as their region has been inundated with floodwaters, and those of the southern states experiencing devastation from recent tornadoes. Through all the destruction that has affected the lives of so many, O God, we pray that your Holy Spirit may bring great comfort, even as aid is coming and hope for the restructuring of people's lives and communities is indeed possible. And even among the circles of those in our own immediate fellowship who are experiencing challenging health concerns and other trials, we pray, O God, for your healing presence and for the hope of better days. Even as we endeavor to offer support to others in need, our prayer is that hope and renewal may indeed be found in the care that is offered and in the comfort of your Holy Spirit. This we pray as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Last week, I shared with you that Fanny Crosby was blind from 6 weeks of age through the duration of her 94 years. Yet well into her 80s, she wrote over 8,000 gospel hymns and songs. And in this morning's worship, all of the hymns that we are singing were written by Fanny Crosby, as we are touched by the depth of her spiritual well-being in spite of her physical limitations. One of the ways Fanny Crosby resided so near and dear to God was by memorizing scripture. During her childhood, she memorized from the Old Testament the books Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. And in the New Testament, she also memorized all four Gospels as well as the book of Acts. Again, she did this in her childhood years. Imagine that. This deep wellspring of biblical knowledge, always keen in her mind and close to her heart, kept her spiritual being close to God in Christ in an extraordinary way. Keeping close to God through even the cross of Christ is the theme for this morning's communion hymn, which she titled, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. The first stanza tells us, Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain. Free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. And the refrain goes on to say, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. May we also be drawn ever closer to God through our Lord Jesus Christ as we sing all three stanzas of Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. It is hymn number 587, as we share in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper.
Jesus. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the
As we gather around the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Judy leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, we come together around this communion table today to share in the taking of this bread and this cup. We are so grateful for the sacrifice that you made for us. We ask that you would bless these emblems. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, each one must give as one has decided in one's heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. May it indeed be with a cheerful heart that we offer a portion of our resources for God's purposes, as Mike leads us in a word of prayer and we receive our tithes and offerings.
Heavenly Father, we know that with each privilege comes a corresponding responsibility. Bless us now and bless these gifts as we use them with the expansion of your kingdom. Through Jesus our Lord, amen.
God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I share with you, this is from the book of Philippians in the New Testament, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Here the Apostle Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, every Lord's Day we celebrate the privilege to rejoice in your holy name. For surely we experience profound assurance, hope, and peace as we experience great joy that only your Holy Spirit's presence can give us, no matter what earthly trials may come upon us. For this assurance we give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen. When people experience insurmountable concerns, whether they be our loved ones, friends, fellow members of our family, of faith, members of our community, or indeed people in lands far away, it is these difficulties when they loom so large that makes us feel so rather small and helpless. We wonder, what is it that we can do to offer any encouragement from our singular position? Yet, when I think of a particular person from the Bible who seems to offer so much encouragement to so many, I am drawn to the writings of the Apostle Paul. For time and again, despite people's troubles, or despite even Paul's own troubles, Paul is encouraging people to rejoice in the presence of the Lord. So many texts have this theme. That text I read this morning, this is our theme text for the day. It's the one I put out on the sign. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, he writes. Again, I say, rejoice. And this word rejoice simply means to be filled with the joy of godliness that surpasses any difficulties or troubles we may experience on earth, because that joy comes from within the Spirit and is not in any way dependent upon things of the physical realm. That's what it means to rejoice in the presence or essence of God among us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and continuing, he writes, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And as we become more and more aware of the challenging circumstances that Paul endures as he shares the gospel among believers, so and where the environment was so often hostile toward him, we realize that he really had some big challenges that he faced day to day. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, that he has been in prison. 5 times he was given 39 lashes by the Jews. 3 times he was whipped by the Romans, and once he was stoned and left for dead. He has been shipwrecked 3 times, and once he spent 24 hours in the water. It goes on to say in verses 26 through 28, in my many travels, I've been in danger from floods and from robbers, in danger from fellow Jews and from Gentiles. There have been dangers in the cities, dangers in the wilds, dangers at the high seas, and dangers from false friends. There has been work and toil. Often I have gone without sleep. I have been hungry and thirsty. I have often been without enough food, shelter, or clothing. And not to mention other things, every day I am under the pressure of my concern for all the churches. So, boy, he had a burdensome life, did he not? And you know, this is before the days of Tylenol. Can you imagine having somebody hurling rocks at you with their intent to kill you, you surviving that? Now, tell me, you're not walking away from that like James Bond did every time. You know, it's always interesting, those James Bond shows. He gets beat up, beats to a pulp, and yet, you know, on he goes. Nah, that's not the way it is. One of those beat up situations, that would have been enough to finish James Bond. It's just a show, right? Well, for Paul, this was no show. He'd get beat up, and yet he'd still find the muster to just keep going. And as we piece together the fragments of Paul's life through his letters, you know, we don't have a chronology. That would really help us if we just really could figure it. We've got to piece it together as we look through various letters. He gives us hints of things that go on in his life. But what we must appreciate is that in the latter portion of his ministry, Paul was in prison or under house arrest or in a jail for somewhere between 5.5 and 6 years. And in every instance, not even really sure when he was going to get out. Paul was likely in his 30s when he became a believer in Christ through his experience of the Spirit, with the Spirit of Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now, think of that. This is a time period when the average lifespan was about 35 years of age. So for all intent and purposes, Paul should be thinking he's about lived out his life. But here he is in his 30s when he makes this conversion. For the next 10 years or so, and through his first missionary journeys, things are pretty sedate, and he's able to travel with ease and not with much difficulty. things work out pretty well for him. But then, when he's in his 40s, and at the end of his second missionary journey, Paul and Silas, they cast out a demonic spirit from a slave girl. The girl's masters, however, who had been making a living from the woman's spiritual powers, were enraged by the woman's healing, and they stirred up a mob in the city of Philippi, had Paul and Silas arrested, they had him beaten and put in prison. And we remember that it was while Paul and Silas were in chains in this damp, dark, and likely rat-infested prison in Philippi, with their clothes already torn off of them and having already been beaten to a pulp, that Acts chapter 16, verse 25 tells us, at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The text goes on to say, and the other prisoners were listening. So imagine the witness that this was in the misery of a prison setting. So inspired was the jailer that after the quake that freed the prisoners, the jailer and all its household became believers in Christ because of this joy-filled and confident witness of Paul and Silas. Although, don't you know, Paul and Silas must have been in an incredible amount of pain. A few years later, Paul is caught up in a conflict with Jews in the temple of Jerusalem. It was a false accusation, what they were saying that he was doing. Yet they drag Paul out of the temple and they attempt to beat him to death. It created such a riot that the Roman soldiers came out of the garrison adjacent to the Jerusalem temple. And it was the Roman soldiers who actually saved Paul from being put to death at this point. And then, for his own protection, a group of about 200 Roman soldiers was gathered, and they took Paul to Caesarea. There he was imprisoned for about 2 years by the governor Felix. All that Felix cared about is he was hoping that somebody would pay a ransom for Paul and release him. He kept waiting and waiting and waiting, no ransom. You know, so finally then, of course, we know Paul appeals to Caesar to have a trial. And so he is escorted to Rome by a centurion and under house arrest for another 2 years while he awaits the trial. And finally, it's in the spring of 63 AD that Paul is acquitted. In other words, according to the Roman government, he hadn't done anything wrong and he was set free. Yet it is only 4 years later that Paul is again arrested in 67 AD, imprisoned once again, this time in Rome. And in May or June of the year 68, Paul is put to death by the Romans, along with possibly Simon Peter and many other followers of Christ at about this time, for the Emperor Nero found the Christians to be a convenient scapegoat to blame for the great fire that destroyed the Circus Maximus in Rome. Yet, even while Paul's travels were so severely restricted, while he was under house arrest, or in jails, or in prisons. In other words, in a time frame when you would think, oh, there's just nothing you can do. What can you do while you're in prison, after all? But what does Paul do? He writes. And he has other people helping him write. He writes Corinthians, he writes Romans. But there are four key books that he especially writes while he is in prison: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And these books are filled with such optimism and hope and joy in Christ. That should inspire you and me, as it inspired the listeners of Paul's day. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers and sisters, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This written by someone who's in prison, not knowing if or when he'll get out. And of course, the key verse for this morning, Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. I say it again. Rejoice. So you see, from a living human example, here in the Apostle Paul, what we learn is that the more we immerse ourselves in the spirit of godliness by rejoicing in the joy and peace of God, the more we are immersed in prayer, the study of God's word, and in fellowship with other believers, the more our own words and the words of Scripture can indeed be encouragement for others, even in those circumstances in which we feel we have so little to offer. You know, George Watkins, bless his heart, he ended up being hospice care for days. 5 days George went without having eaten or drank a thing before he passed into the Lord's presence. Had a niece and other family members, along with Joan, who were certainly keeping vigil with George. We're going to miss George's presence here in our fellowship. In such circumstances, you wonder, what can you do? Ah, but it was a wonderful occasion to lift up the text of God's holy word, and especially the promises given by our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14, as he had finished up the Lord's Supper and before his departure into the Garden of Gethsemane, "In my Father's house are many rooms, and I am going to prepare a place for you, and when I do so, I'll come back and I'll take you unto myself so that you may be where I am also." Many other texts. Speak those words out, believing that George is hearing. Right? That's encouragement at a precious time. You know, I've now been here over 7 years. Time's kind of marching on, isn't it? Every 2 weeks I go to a doctor's office. Not very long visits, but through the majority of this time, a particular young nurse I've got to know. Because you know, when you go to the same place over and over again, this opportunity to kind of share a few snippets about your own life, and you learn a few snippets about another person that may be assisting you with one thing or another, whether it be the grocery store, whether it be, you know, a counter at a Walgreens, or, you know, doctor's office, whatever it be. You learn a few things about folks, don't you? I hope you do. Don't you? I mean, I always thought that was one of the precious things about having retail. Instead of doing everything online, you get to know people. As time has gone on, learned of her wedding, learned that she and her husband bought their first house, brand new home. Good for them. All excited about getting things fixed up. And then one day she shared with me, they were going to be having their first child, but, oh, Dennis, don't tell anybody. It's not out yet. Oh, I'm quiet. I'll keep that to myself. I sure will. Dinner came that time. Went in. She wasn't there. Well, you know, I'm missing so-and-so. She's not working here anymore. Oh, well, then I guess she must have stopped working so she can take care of her baby when her baby's born. Oh, no, Dennis. Found out she has a very rare illness. Even as she's waiting for the child to be born. Oh. That's why she's not here. Oh, my heart broke. For her family. What's one to do? What can one do? I did get an address. I can write, and I can offer up prayers. And you can too. Right? Sometimes, like the Apostle Paul, we feel so imprisoned by the circumstances we have to deal with, or the circumstances that dear people in our lives have to deal with. What can we do? Words. Words of encouragement. Because you see, when we all even get to that point where George was this past week, there's a point where we all pass into the Lord's presence. And all that remains is the hope of what? Words. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I am going to prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I will take you unto myself, so that you may be where I am. Let us be so immersed in a spiritual essence in our lives through our understanding of the Word that we can be that voice of encouragement for others with whom we share a portion of our lives. Encouragement is one of the reasons why Fanny Crosby's hymns have had such enduring value through the decades and through the generations, and is the reason why all of our hymns this morning are from her. Despite being physically blind for nearly all of her life, Fanny Crosby possessed a spiritual vision that took her mind's eye to great spiritual heights and prompted her to create many inspiring verses that, once put to song, have inspired generations to be drawn ever closer to God. One of the simplest of these songs is our hymn of invitation this morning. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. Again, it's a simple expression of calling people back into the living presence of God. And it is always hoped that this simple invitation will prompt others to come forward and make that confession of faith, as I hope it may do also for you. And as we turn to this hymn of invitation, we want to celebrate this morning that during the 8:30 service, Tom and Judy Taylor and their son Brandon all came forward as our first new members for the year 2023, transferring their membership from the Asbury United Methodist Church as they made a reaffirmation of their faith. So you see, here we are, a brand new year. We already have some new members. Praise God. Because encouragement is what we're all about. Turn to our hymn of invitation number 343. Let us sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading all this to voice, hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice, quickly arise and obey. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is
the joy and peace of God abides with you as you journey forward in the new week. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit abides with us in a most unique and wondrous way. and fills us with the great joy that even the Apostle Paul experienced even as he was imprisoned. Lord, may our lives also express that great sense of rejoicing as we step forward in the new week and as we are a living witness by what we do and say. For your Spirit's guidance, we give thanks as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, near my faith. Rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all.